Amen. Our text for this series of lessons, in fact, all of our prayer seminars, I always use this as a golden text, Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 18th verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then again, another companion text is John's Gospel, the 15th chapter and the 7th verse, where Jesus said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Notice that he said, and my words abide in you. For a prayer life to be successful, it has to be based upon God's word. Praying always with all prayer. Well, that's King James translation. Another translation said, praying with all kinds of prayer. Well, you can see that's a correct translation, because if there was just one kind of prayer, then he would have said, as King James, he'd have said, just praying with all, with prayer, just pray with prayer. But he said all prayer. So that infers that there are different kinds of praying. But even if we didn't have that verse, because we read the New Testament, we can see readily that there are different kinds of prayer and different kinds of praying. And I said it in the very first seminar, very first year we had school. For several years we had a prayer seminar every winter. I'd always take this same text every winter, and we'd go different directions because you couldn't cover everything about prayer in one seminar, just a week's time. But I said way back there then, where we missed it is that we put all prayer in the same sack, shook it all up together and poured it all out together, and then became confused. Well, one could readily see and know that as we examine the New Testament, that there are several different kinds of praying. Number one, we've already discussed it, but we'll reiterate, the prayer of faith, or the prayer to change things. Of course, Mark 11:24, there's a classic text on that. Therefore, saying to you, what things ever you desire when you pray. So see, the verse is talking about prayer, isn't it? And we're discussing prayer. When you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have. And so we discuss the prayer of faith. Now, James said in the first chapter of James, the 5th through the 7th verse, if any man or any person among you lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. So he's talking about prayer, isn't he? Asking, prayer, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that's tossed to and fro by the wind. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything. So he's talking about praying and receiving, asking and receiving. Prayer, the prayer of faith, is asking and receiving. And so, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And so, when we waver, that's not the prayer of faith, is it? Amen. So many times people said, well, I believe God heard me in the very next breath almost, and talking unbelief. That's not going to work. Then, when it's, whatever you know, you can pray the prayer of faith for yourself. That is, you know, if it's in line with God's word, you understand that. You're not going to be able to get out of line with God's word. Amen. That's the reason we say find scripture. Well, we know that we can pray the prayer of faith for our needs to be met, because we looked at a scripture in the very first class we had in the 6th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus himself said, your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Amen? And so he said, before you ask him for what? Your needs. So it must be God's will for your needs to be met. You can believe that. But of course, we have another scripture. We don't just base it on, you know, anything on some one isolated scripture. Find other related scriptures. We know, of course, that Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, said, but my God shall supply all of your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We can believe for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, do you ever stop thinking about it? We can pray the prayer of faith for the harvest. Because we looked at this verse, these scriptures briefly. And let's go over them again, because if you haven't heard it, we're planting seed. If we have, we're watering the seeds already been planted. Amen. It has to be watered to grow. But there in the 9th chapter of Matthew, you remember when Jesus, he said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And he said, pray ye. Well, this is prayer we're talking about, isn't it? This is prayer he's talking about. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. Now you can pray in faith for that, can't you? Right. Now why? Because Jesus told you to.
Right.
I mean, he's not going to tell you to pray for something that's not his will. He's not going to tell you to pray for something that he's not going to give you. I mean, that'd be stupid. I don't believe God's stupid, do you? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. And why don't God just go ahead and send them anyway, though, if he wants to? Well, because he doesn't, like John Wesley said, it seems God limited by our prayer life. He doesn't do anything for mankind unless somebody asks him to do it. We'll get into that more deeply later on. But just make the observation right now. So then we know that's God's will. We can pray the prayer of faith there. Now, we know that healing is God's will. You can pray the prayer of faith there. That is primarily for yourself. Now, when it comes to somebody else, their will is involved. You understand that. So on some of these things, we drop back to the next prayer that we discussed, and that's the prayer of agreement. Amen?
Amen.
Because right on the other hand, praying, you know, for him to send laborers, and he'll send the laborers, and if the harvest is out there,
amen.
I mean, all you need is laborers. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God, the harvest is there. Just wait. So that's what we need is the laborers. And then we saw, before we go on, let's look at another scripture over in James, the 5th chapter, the 7th verse about the harvest. Be patient, therefore, brethren, James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Well, it's hard to be patient sometimes. We just, you know, well, why doesn't he come? So on. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. That's harvest, isn't it? In fact, that's the only thing I can see that the scripture said he's waiting on. I know the Bible talks about different things being fulfilled, but in a measure, these things have been fulfilled. We can see all of that. Amen? But he said, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Well, that means harvest. And he hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Now, those Jews understood about that. You see, the earlier rain came when they planted the crops, or after they planted them, you know, and then the latter rain came to make the crop. And he's using a natural human term, you see, to explain a spiritual thought. And that's what he's waiting on, because there is to be a harvest. Praise God. Well, we need to continue to pray along that line, and we can pray in faith. I made mention of the fact here that several years ago, I guess 5 years ago now, before we ever started, we'd have Sunday night service and Wednesday night service. And at first, we just had a Monday night prayer meeting, finally moved over to Wednesday night. And so there's a couple of years on back there, I guess 6 years ago, and so on, that we, the Lord laid this verse particular, you know, I knew it was in there all the time, but sometimes they'll just sort of jump out at you, you know. And I don't know why, I never did see it in that light before, but suddenly I saw something. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Well, I said to the students that were coming and others that wanted to come to pray, I said, we sort of wrote off the communist countries, though the devil has had them. We'd pray for the Christians there, you know. But I said, now, wait a minute. You know, if that's what he's waiting on, it didn't say he's waiting for the precious fruit from Oklahoma. It didn't say he's waiting for the precious fruit from the United States. It didn't say he's waiting for the precious fruit from North America or South America. He said from the whole earth. Amen?
Amen.
And so I said to them as we prayed, I said, I mean, before Jesus can come, we got to have some fruit coming out of Russia, coming out behind the iron curtain.
Amen. Amen.
The bamboo curtain.
Yes.
Amen. The whole earth. The whole earth.
Amen.
The whole earth.
Amen.
Praise God. So we started praying that direction. And things started happening. And they're still happening.
Amen.
I said, they're still happening.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly convinced a lot of things that happen is a result of what we prayed back there several years ago. Well, we don't let up on it now. We want to keep praying.
Amen.
We'll get around to some of that in more detail later, but yet it fits in here because we're talking about praying for the harvest, and we can pray in faith for the harvest.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, since that time we started praying, we are even printing books, you know, in communist countries, some of our books. Our winter seminar last February, we got word from folks there in Hungary. And we give them permission to print our books. And so they consolidated two of them, The Name of Jesus and How to Be Led by the Spirit of God, printed one big book, printed it on communist press. And because it was printed on communist press, they, you know, because it's got one TV station, you know, I mean, and it's controlled by the government. They advertised the book at 8 o'clock at night on prime time. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. And so just a lot of things have happened. I believe it's all a result. I remember Brother Goodwin said something to me one time that registered on me. I never forgot. Brother Goodwin was he was pastor of the First Assembly of God Church in Pasadena, Texas. That's a suburb to Houston, Texas, for 27 years before he retired from pastoring and then preached around several years before he went home to be with the Lord at 79 years of age. But I was holding revival there where I used to go about every year and hold a meeting there at his church. And we were having a good meeting, you know, and we were talking about prayer and so on and so forth. But he said, you know, the results that we're having now are the results of us praying sometime many months ago. See, there's no such thing as time with God. I remember one time I was in the last church I pastored. Not the last one, but one of them back there. I was praying one day in my study in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. And there are divers kinds of tongues. That means divers kinds of languages. Many people misinterpret that, you know. But that's different kinds of languages is what it is. And I'd pray in this language and then I'd change languages. And when I'd change languages, I'd see people in the Spirit, you know, dressed different than what we dress. And then I'd change tongue. And so in the process of time, in fact, I guess it's over really the next year, I picked up a religious periodical and there was a picture of some people there. And I thought, well, I've seen those people before. And I knew I'd never been outside the United States at that time, not even to Canada, just barely across the border into some of the border towns of Mexico. And then I remembered, I was praying. I saw that must have been what I was praying for a harvest there, see. Because here a great revival had broke out, see. And then I saw some pictures of some others later on. And I said, well, I've seen those folks. You know, they were dressed different than what we were and all. See, of course, I'm talking about 45, 46, 47 years ago. Well, thank God. Hallelujah. There's no doubt, see, what had happened in recent time was a result of me praying last year. There's no doubt in my mind that what happened just in this year's result of us praying right here on back there. Amen. And so we're going to keep on praying along this line. Believe in God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, our problem a lot of times is that people have thought, because we've emphasized the prayer of faith, that the prayer of faith will always work everywhere for everything, but it won't. I said, but it won't. You have to ascertain which kind of prayer will fit your case. Are you listening to me? Now then, for instance, and I'll reiterate that because so many times folks don't understand. You see, whatever the Bible promises you, you can pray and believe for. But then when somebody else gets involved, their will becomes involved, their desires become involved. See, the text said what things ever you desire. It didn't say what things ever your neighbor desires. Because what they desire is another thing entirely, what you desire. As far as that's concerned, it doesn't say what things ever your husband desires, said what things ever you desire. A lot of times husbands and wives, instead of getting in agreement, they try to push one another's desires off on the other one. That won't work. I said, that won't work. Amen. But you see, when the other person's involved, then you need to drop down, or you don't really drop down, but in other words, go to another kind of prayer, and that's a prayer of agreement. Get in agreement. The Bible said in the Old Testament, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And they can't. And then in the New Testament, Jesus said, you know, well as I do, in Matthew 18:19, that again I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Two of you agree on earth. If you don't get an agreement, it's not going to work. You see, this is where something involves the two individuals. Now, if something just involves me, you know, like, for instance, healing for my body, I can believe for that whether anybody else does or not. Amen? But see, when things involve someone else, you're going to have to get them in agreement with you before you're going to make your prayer work. I remember one of our board members said to us, he and his wife said to my wife and I several years ago, because way back a number of years ago, we were ministering full gospel businessmen, and he was in a business meeting, but his wife said to him, because she hadn't heard before, said, this is the message. And so she got him to listening. Then he set up a number of meetings, way back before we ever started school, a number of meetings for me up in his part of the country. And we stayed in their home with them. Well, at the time, there was a recession on. And he was in real estate, building. In fact, he'd built a number of houses, couldn't sell them, owned a bunch of lots, and just about to go bankrupt, to tell the truth about the matter. And so they began to listen. In fact, he just, in all these places around where we'd have seminar, week-long seminars, he just, both of them would just leave their business and come and, because she had a business too, and come and stand and say, well, it's more important we hear the Word of God. They knew this about to go under anyway, so, amen. And so they began to get an agreement. And they would just join hands and agree about selling certain properties, and every time it'd sell. Till other real estate people came to him and said, you're the only people in the whole county that's selling anything. How do you do it? Nobody else is selling anything. Till they sold every lot they had, sold every house that he'd built. And then they were living in one that he built. And so they wanted to sell that one, and then he's going to build another one they're going to live in. But she said, you know, it wouldn't sell. I mean, everything else we'd agreed on just sold almost worked like magic. It almost overnight, just worked perfect. And months went along, He couldn't figure it. Finally, she said, well, I'll just tell you the truth about it. I went through the motion like I did, but on the inside of me, I really wanted to live here. And so on the inside of me, I really wasn't agreeing. You know, it won't work. And see, you can't look on the inside of another person. But one thing you can be sure about it, Jesus didn't tell a lie about it. And if you went through some form of agreement and it didn't work, you just marked down one of them didn't agree. Because if they did, Jesus lied. Amen? But you see, this is talking about spiritual agreement. It isn't just talking about mental agreement. You can join hands, you know, as a sign that we are in agreement here, you know, because joining hands, that means we join together here. And mentally you can say the same things, but what about your heart? Your spirit, the inward man. Like I've said before, maybe like the little boy that was naughty and the teacher made him stand up in the corner, you know. And he said to someone, said, well, I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. In the same way about prayer. You see, you can kneel, looks real religious. Just kneel, you know, down before God, but you may be standing up on the inside. And God can see you standing up. And it ain't going to work. You might as well say amen. So anyway. But thank God, I'm glad husbands and wives, it don't take a big bunch to get the job done if two of you shall agree on earth. If two of you shall agree on earth. As touching anything they ask. But you know, it's difficult, particularly when it comes to spiritual things, to get people in agreement. Amen. Man, you could do some meddling there, but I'll leave that one. I'll leave that one alone. Amen. So, the prayer of agreement. And then, we've stopped there to the third kind of praying, and that's the prayer of consecration, or dedication, or submission. That is, we're submitting to the will of God, We're dedicating ourselves to His will. We're consecrating ourselves to His will. Now, let's notice Jesus. We'll read first of all from Matthew's Gospel. You have your Bible there. Just turn right back to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, 26th chapter. And you'll notice Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, notice the 36th verse through the 43rd verse, Matthew 26, verse 36 through 43. Then cometh Jesus with them, his disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Now let's go on reading. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he, 45th verse, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Now, turn over to Mark's Gospel. Let's read Mark's account of the same thing. The 14th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark. Verse 32 said, And they come to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and was very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. Now, I want you to notice, and you can go on reading about the same thing as in the other writing. You'll notice that he prayed the same prayer three times. You see, you couldn't pray the prayer of faith three times. Which one of them was the prayer of faith? The first two would have to be a prayer of unbelief. Amen. And you see, because folks don't rightly divide the word, well, then they get confused about the thing. Andrew Murray said it's not good. Now, he's talking about the prayer of faith. He said it's not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over again. Talking about asking for something. He said if you prayed for it, and claimed it, in other words, and praised God for it. That's a prayer of faith. And if the next time you prayed had to materialize, don't ask for it again. For so doing, you see, you undone what you did. But he said, praise God. Just remind the Lord you prayed. Remind the Lord, I'm believing you. I'm praising God for it. And stay in faith.
Amen.
See? But now, again, because here in this prayer, Jesus put an if in it. If it's possible, let this cup. Some people think you ought to put an if in every prayer. Well, you can readily see you can't pray the prayer of faith and put an if in it. You can't pray the prayer of agreement and put an if in it. You just got through ruining it. Amen. Well, they said that's the way Jesus prayed. Yeah, this one time. He didn't pray that away at Lazarus' tomb, did he? Amen. Remember that? at Lazarus' tomb, he said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me always." Never put an if in that prayer. No, when it comes to the prayer of submission, the prayer of consecration, the prayer of dedication, the prayer of commitment, then you can put an if in it and you can pray that prayer over and over again. Now, I prayed years and years ago when I first got saved. 56 years ago. And now almost 56 and a half years ago. And I'm still praying the same prayer. I prayed it thousands of times. Jesus just prayed this one 3 times because it came to pass. What he's praying about was, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, yours be done." Then he's betrayed. That's what he's praying about. After all, think about this. You could readily understand, him who knew no sin was made to be sin. All the sins of this world was laid on him. Amen. All the wickedness and all the sin. No wonder. But thank God. Thank God he wasn't praying a prayer to change anything. Amen. Thank God he wasn't. He is praying a prayer of commitment, to commit himself. So 56 and a half years ago almost, I started praying, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. If you want me to go to Africa as a missionary, I'll go." China was open in those days to missionaries. "If you want me to go to China as a missionary, I'll go. If you just want me to stay home, I'll go. If you want me to preach, I'll preach. If you just want me to be a good Sunday school superintendent and a good Sunday school teacher, I'll do it." See, you've got to be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Amen. Not get God in the notion willing to do what you want to do, because he's not going to get willing to do what you want him to do. Did you hear me? You're going to have to be willing to do what he wants to do. Now, I'm well satisfied, so I still pray that prayer today. Amen. "I'll go where you want me to go." We sing sometime the little song, you know, a little chorus. "I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be." That's a prayer of commitment. That's a prayer of dedication. And the song can become a prayer if we really mean it from our hearts. Amen. But you know, the problem is a lot of time that folks sing that and even pray that, and yet right on the inside, and God can see the inside, I can't, right on the inside they got some reservations. You know, "I'll go where you want me to go, all right, if it doesn't cost too much." You know, if it's not too much sacrifice to it. "I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do, Lord, as long as the children all want to." Well, they may not want to. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. I knew a pastor down in Texas, more than one, but one I'm thinking along that line right now. And a good preacher and a good pastor, very capable, no telling where he could have gone, no telling what a blessing he could have been to humanity. But he couldn't do what God wanted him to do because of his wife and children. His wife's not a minister. It's different if they're in the ministry. It's very difficult to synchronize two ministries. Very difficult. But his wife wasn't in the ministry. I mean, wasn't called to preach or anything like that. She'd worked with him. But you see, he had to do what they wanted to do. Well, he wound up on the spiritual junk heap. Never heard of him now for a number of years. And yet he was so qualified and so anointed and so blessed and could have been such a blessing. But he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. Well, I'll tell you, wives and children should be taught the word.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Praise God. And you know, I don't know, I teach that here at school all the time. And you see, many of you were in school, so you heard it. And the rest of these folks, well, we will teach it to them. But I tell them all the time, you know, before, when I proposed to my wife, and she accepted my proposal, I said, "Well, wait just a minute now, we got some things to discuss here." And that's the first thing I discussed. Because more problems have come to the home because of religion. You know, when I say religion, you know what I mean by that. All different areas here. And I said, "You see, I'm a preacher. God called me to the ministry. And if he said go to Africa, then I'm going. And you've got to think about that ahead of time." Amen. If you're not willing to go, well, just speak up now. Forever hold your peace. We're going to, amen. We won't go this direction. I said, "I love you more than any person except Jesus Christ." But right on the other hand, it'd been just the easiest thing in the world. Don't mean nothing wrong, but it'd have been the easiest thing in the world. If she's not willing, just to dump her right then. And you better do it ahead of time because you can't do it afterwards. Amen. I'm just getting right down where it is. Amen. I said amen. I said amen.
Amen.
And so many. You see, all these areas, what does God want you to do? What does God want me to do? Well, we got to be willing.
Yes.
When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues, in 1937, as a young Baptist boy pastor and came over among the Pentecostals, I heard this story. And I began to inquire around about it and finally met the individual that was involved. But here's a man that's successful. He's a nationally known evangelist in his particular full gospel denomination. You might say he's almost number one evangelist in America. He's at the top. But here's his testimony. He got saved. He's about 13 years old, knelt in an old-fashioned altar bench. But he felt this call to the ministry. And he is afraid that God had called him. China was open those days to missionary, that God would call him to China to be a missionary. And so he stumbled along through the teenage year. Every year, they'd be having a revival. And he'd get in the altar and, as we say, get prayed through. But there's that call again. And so then he's back out away from him because he don't want to go. He's afraid God would want him to go to China. And he messed along that way, getting prayed back through, you know, ever so often, till he's 29 years old, married, 29 years old. Finally went to the altar again. And this time God began to deal with him. He got back in fellowship with God. God began to talk to him about the ministry. Finally, he just said, "All right, Lord, I'll go. If you want me to go to China, I'll go." He said, God said, "I don't want you to go to China, but I want you to be willing to."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, God wants you to be willing to do anything.
Amen.
And he may just have you to do a few of those things just to see if you are willing.
That's right.
And if you're not willing, he's not able to trust you anywhere else. Amen. I'm well satisfied in my day now, both in the Baptist and then when I came over among the Pentecostals. In those days, it seemed that they only recognized two ministry gifts, and that was evangelist and pastor. And they'd ask when you made an application for credentials, "Are you a pastor or an evangelist?" I don't know if that's the way they did your bunch, Doc. Amen. See? Well, then, here are people, you see. I saw good people many times messed up. Because, see, they felt a call to work for God, and so they tried to be an evangelist, fell flat on their face. They tried to be a pastor, fell flat on their face. And then they just grew cold and dead, and some of them backslid, never did do anything for God, got out of church. But, you see, there are other ministries in there. I mean, not only apostles, missionaries, those called especially to do special jobs for God, or prophets, or teachers. But there's a ministry of helps right in the middle of the whole list.
Amen.
I'm well satisfied that some of those folks, that all God called them to do was just to stay in the church and be a help to the pastor.
Amen.
And to operate in the ministry of helps, and they could have been a blessing.
Yes.
Now, I remember a lady, I preached at a certain church after I left my last church in 1949. Went out on the field ministry. And I preached in this church. And here's this lady. She had been already gotten saved, but she got filled with the Holy Ghost under my ministry. And then her husband got in. Well, now he's a carpenter, contractor, build houses. But she feels this call to work for God. Well, we ought to all work for God. We don't mean we call for the ministry. But she feels this something. So she decides their children, they was of the age that their children, two of them was already grown and gone. And so she tried to be an evangelist and just fell flat on her face because she's not an evangelist. And so then she decided, well, if I'm not an evangelist, then I must be a pastor. And so there was another lady that had a little church out in the edge of town, lady pastor. We call it plum out of town, nearly in the country. You know what I mean by that? And so she joined up there and they're co-pastors. And so when she became co-pastor with the other lady pastor, they had about 37 in attendance, and she was there with her for about 18 months, and they got about 15 or 12 in attendance. And she decided, well, that's not God. So she's very disappointed. And last time I saw her in Texas, you know, her face was long and she is sad and she looked like sort of last year's bird nest. Forlorn and forsaken. But now in the process of time, I'm preaching in the state of California. And I'm in that church here, in this particular church, and my eyes fall upon this woman and her husband. Hadn't seen them, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And I tell you, you never saw anybody look so happy in your life. Man, her face just looks like a neon sign turned on in the dark. You don't have to ask her, you know, if she's in the joy of the Lord, it's just all over her.
Amen.
Amen. I talked to the pastor about it. And the pastor said, yeah. He said, she said to me, I finally found my place. She said, my husband, see, the ministry of helps. And there's many ways you could help. She said, my husband, you know, goes to work every day because he's a carpenter and a contractor, you know, in building houses and repairing houses and so on and so forth. And I'm just home all day because their children, both of them married, live back in the state of Texas. And so she said, I go out every day from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Just trying to find somebody I can be a blessing to, some home. I'll go down in the very, very ghetto. In fact, I found a woman, pastor's telling me, said she came to him and said, I found this woman and 3 kids and 1 little old baby, just a baby down at the junkyard. In fact, there's a living in a house that built out of pasteboard boxes and got them, cleaned them up. Amen. And that pastor told me, said, she gets more people saved every week than all the rest of our church put together. And he had a pretty good sized church. He'd run 500 and 600 on Sunday. You know, in those days, that was a good sized church. He said, she'll put anywhere from one to three and sometimes 5 families in our church every week. Glory to God. She gets them saved, gets them filled with the Holy Ghost. She don't come to me and said, Brother Pastor, would you come and lay hands on them and get them healed? She lays hands on them, gets them healed. You know, that's what God wants everybody to do, really. But see, she found her place. He said she'll just go find some woman that's sick and go in and clean her house up and do her washing. Amen. Well, sure, I mean, it don't have to be saved people, just anybody she can find to be a help to. Well, sure, those folks are ready to come to church then. Amen. You've been a blessing to them. You lifted them up. I never saw anybody's happy. I believe that woman's face just beamed. You could look the crowd over, 500, 600 people, and anybody could locate her. It'd be like a sun shining almost, you know, through the clouds. I'm so glad I tried to be an evangelist. I tried to be a pastor. I suppose if she'd known about it, she'd have tried to have been an apostle. If she had heard about it, she had tried to have been a prophet. But now then she found out, bless God, her place, and she's happy. Now, that's what we've got to do. We've got to be willing to do anything. Amen. Praise God. Just willing to do anything that God wants us to do. Yeah, but I don't know what he wants me to do. Well, just be willing and let him in his own good time tell you. Trouble a lot of folks is they want the Lord to have told them day before yesterday. Well, you may not have been ready day before yesterday. Amen. So just do what your hand finds to do. And be ready to do anything you can for God. Pray that prayer of commitment. Dedication, submission to God's will. See, I started out as a teenager, 17 years old. Well, I was first, you see, just a Baptist boy. And wherever the door opened, I was ready, but I didn't just, you know, and I felt that call and that something burning inside me. But I'd just do whatever I could do for God. Amen. But I was always doing something. At 17, I went back to high school, of course. But I was working constantly, doing something for God. Now, I was Baptist. I went down to the Full Gospel Tabernacle every chance I got because they believed in healing. And I'd been healed by the power of God. And that old tabernacle, 50 feet wide and 80 feet long, seat 800 people. But you see, they built it, just a frame, you know, and put weatherboarding on the outside, and it'd never been sealed on the inside, and had a sawdust floor in it. We're talking about Depression days. You don't know, some of you folks don't know much. You've never been to Great Depression. No floor in it. And so the pastor, you see, because winter time's coming on now. And you see, they'd put that weatherboarding on that frame, you know. And when they put it on there, it's green lumber, and it'd draw it up. And you could stick your fingers, you know, between the cracks of the weatherboard. Man, that wind just blow right through. You try to heat that building. So the pastor wants to seal it. The ceiling and the walls, you see, to hold out that. And so he's asking for somebody to help him. Well, I'm not even a member down there. When he asked for somebody to come next week and help him, happened to be during the time that I wasn't in school, they were doing it. I'm the first one to lift my hand. I'm not even a member of that church. I'm the first one to lift my hand. In fact, tell you the truth about it, the pastor and I did 80% of the work. There's another fellow came and helped us a little bit. But we did it. Glory to God. I'm doing something for God.
Amen.
That's the house of God.
Yes.
I mean, if I went and visit, and I'd visit different churches because I'm not a member in them, any of them. I'd visit different ones. And if they wanted somebody to take a broom and sweep the walk out front, I'm the first one that volunteered.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. See, you've got to be committed and dedicated and submissive. And when you said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do, don't wait for him. Said, get the broom, go to work. If the door opens, get it and start out. I didn't wait for the Lord to tell me to help that full gospel pastor, and I'm not full of gospel, I'm Baptist. I didn't wait for him to tell me, I didn't have to have him tell me. I saw the need. He needs somebody to help him. Amen. If he's going to get the job done, he can't do it by himself. He needs, well, he could do some, it'd take some time, but it's a whole lot easier for two working. Amen. I said, amen. Went to a Christian church. And the Sunday school superintendent, one of the elders, said, Kenneth, how about teaching the young people's class? I just went to visit. How about teaching the young people's class today? He said, the teacher moved away. They had an assistant teacher, but something had happened to them. We don't have any teacher at all for that class today. And I had my Bible in my hand. Actually shook hands with him as I went through the door, the Christian, Disciples of Christ Church. And he said, he pointed to the Bible. He said, you don't have to have a Sunday school book. I started to say, I don't have a Sunday school book. I don't even want to teach. He said, just teach the Bible. Anything you want to teach, teach it. Boy, that'd give me a good opportunity. Amen. And so I taught that young people's class. Actually, it's single, young singles. Some of them wasn't so young, but what it was is from the time you was 18 years old on up till you got married. I guess they thought everybody's going to get married, but there's some in there, 42 or 3, that never had made it. And so they were in there. But I had more people in that one class than I have had in whole Sunday schools, the whole church school. I pastored, you see. But I taught them. And so then I stayed for church that morning. And then he said to me, Kenneth, said, how about taking that class over and being their teacher? I said, well, I'm not a member here of this church, Christian church. Oh, that's all right. We know you. You bought up in this end of the town. We'd like to have you. Well, there's a door.
Amen.
I said, okay, I'll just do that. Now, he said, you don't have to teach the Sunday. You can teach Sunday school book if you want to. But our pastor, just in the auditorium Bible class, just uses the Bible. So just use the Bible. Just go ahead and teach. And no restriction. Teach whatever you want to. Well, I taught them for many, many, many months. Amen. Same time, did some other things, working, going to school all the time. But we need to be committed. See, a lot of folks want to do something for God, but they're waiting for something big. I heard dear minister, bless their heart, dead now, died in middle age, died really young. I heard him say it. He said it to me and some other. I want to do something big for God. Before you're going to do something big, you're going to have to do something little.
Amen.
If you haven't done something little, you ain't qualified to do something big.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
And so, notice though, that Jesus, it said here, prayed this prayer 3 times. There's some prayers, some kinds of praying. This is one kind that you have to keep praying over and over again. Never, 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 never stop. I'm still praying that same prayer today. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, you've got to be willing to do what God wants you to do. Don't care what you're doing right now. I know before we started school, you see, we were going before the Lord said to us, because until he tells you to do something else. Just keep doing what you're doing. Well, it may not be right. Well, if no other door's open, it must be right. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in doing anything for God. Are you listening to me? Now, when a number of different doors get open, well, then you ought to have enough sense to pray and seek God which one you want me to go through. I know the last church I pastored, a friend of mine, I had him over to hold a meeting for me. He had moved down in our part of the state. He had held meetings for me in other churches where I'd pastored. And I tried my best to help him. In fact, I got other meetings for him. I told him how I did. He's going to sit down and just pray till something comes to him. Well, about all it'll come to is a bunch of unpaid bills. Amen. Amen. I said, come and go to the fellowship meeting with me. In the afternoons, I always introduce the evangelist. And I'll introduce you. Tell him you held me a meeting, and I'll recommend you. No, and he just sat there until he dried up and he's never preached again. And a marvelous preacher. He could preach better than any five different preachers around that I knew, all of them put together. Think about what marvelous ministry to the body of Christ was lost just because his unwillingness to be committed, submissive. Amen. Going to have it his way. Going to have it his way. Amen. No, sir. I just always went ahead and obeyed God. And if God, I go as much by what he doesn't say as what he does say. Amen. Some people waiting for God to say something to them. Well, if he don't say anything, just stay put. I pastored a church during World War II down in East Texas, suburb to Longview. On either side of me was a full gospel church of the same full gospel denomination. 3 miles to my west was a pastor. 3 miles to my east. We were all on, they were right on the highway that went through town. I was just 2 blocks off of it, over Highway 80, you know, had no freeways, and highways went out through town. Well, I had members that lived the other side of both of them that came right by their church to my church, and they had members that lived right around me and went to their church, and I'd be out sometime visiting on Monday, and I'd stop by and visit them. I knew they'd be in their study, as you usually say, so I'd stop by and visit with them quite frequently. And both of them, about the same caliber, I could tell before they ever said anything, something's wrong. Their face was long. You know. Looked like something terrible had happened to them. Some of the kin folks had died. Or their mother-in-law's moved in on them to stay forever. Well, what's the matter? Well, they'd say to me, well, I'll tell you one thing. If I ever get the Sunday school was down, see, if I can get the Sunday school back up to where it was and get the tithes back up where they were, I'm leaving. And then they finally asked me, after several months, they said, don't you ever get discouraged? I said, no, sir, no. Well, is the Sunday school ever down? I said, sure it is. Especially on holiday weekends and one thing or another. The tithes and offerings ever down? I said, sure they are. They don't affect me one bit in the world. I said, I heard from heaven before I came here. Amen. To pastor this church. I'm an intelligent being. God's an intelligent being. I never think about leaving or think about doing anything. When he gets ready, he'll tell me. If he don't say anything, I just stay faithful. It won't bother me if they don't anybody but two old snaggletooth women show up. I'll give them the best shot I have. You're going to have that kind of commitment for the ministry and for life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To do the will of God.
Amen.
Not sit around waiting until you hear from heaven. If he's already told you something, do it.
Amen.
If he didn't tell you anything, the door's open, just go ahead and do it. Amen. Amen. I first started out on the field. I left my last church because God told me to. Go out and hold meetings in churches. And I don't have but one meeting when I went out. I preached for Lynette's daddy, Brother and Sister Tipton. I don't have anywhere else to preach. I got 2 children. I got a family. Well, while I'm there, preacher came visiting. He invited me, said, Brother Hagin, I'd like to have you to come to me. I said, when? He said, well, if you got any time, you get through here. I said, okay, I'll be over there. I don't have anywhere else to preach. Amen. And then some of the preachers said to me, said, how do you ascertain the will of God? Whether that's God's will for you to go over and preach, not said it's the only door open. I don't have it. I got enough sense to know we got to eat. I got enough sense to know I got two children.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to sit around and wait till some big door opens up. I'm going over there to that little place and preach. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, some of them said I was nuts, but you see, I made it and they didn't. Glory to God. And I mean, I've been preaching for years. The fellow said to me, Pastor, Brother Hagin, do you ever preach in small churches? And I said, if the Lord says so. Because I was going to big churches all the time. I mean, the top churches, the biggest ones, biggest crowds, biggest finances. But you got to be willing to still go to the little one if God says so.
Amen.
Amen. And I always did my best. I mean, if I just got six people in a morning service, I taught them just as well as I do 600 in a day service.
Amen.
They came. I've even taught two people in a morning service, 10 o'clock in the morning, two people. I gave them the same shot I did to 2,000. Because the word of God's the same. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Some prayers you can pray more than once. Amen. Good example. It's not necessarily a prayer of submission, yet it is a prayer of revelation. Those two prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. Paul was inspired by the Holy Ghost to write that to the church at Ephesus and said he prayed that for them. Well, if he's inspired by the Holy Ghost to write it and he prayed that for them by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he's still inspired today.
Amen.
You can pray those prayers for yourself. Amen. And pray them over and over and over again. Just because you prayed them last year don't mean you don't pray them this year. Amen. Because we're still growing in the knowledge of him. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Jesus, that's the only prayer that he put an if in. You can't find any others. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. So there are some prayers you can put an if in, this kind of prayer, incidentally, but not the other kinds of prayer, because then you'd be in unbelief. And so in a certain sense of the word, you might say this, if you're praying, Lord, if you want me to go to Africa, I'll go. If you want me to be a missionary, I'll go. If you want me to pastor, I'll pastor. If you want me to... Well, that means you don't know for sure. In other words, that still means that you're sort of in doubt about it. And we are in doubt about those things sometimes. Just what he does want us to do, aren't we? And so we pray those prayers over and over again. Now, I made mention in the first year, and a lot of first year students here, I made mention in class here with the first year group in teaching on the subject of faith concerning George Muller. He was an Englishman, and when he wrote what I'm about to tell you, he was about 93 years old. And at that time, he had an orphanage there in Bristol, England, that would house 2,500 children. But he didn't start out 2,500 children. He started out with two. Nonetheless, what I want to get over to you is just a part of what I shared with them, because this only part is pertinent to what we're talking about now. And he said, I kept sensing in my spirit, or sensing within him. He don't know for sure. He's in doubt about that. God wanted him to start a children's home. But he don't know for sure. So he said, I prayed for 30 days, every morning and every night. So that means you prayed the same prayer twice a day for 30 days. He prayed 60 prayers and saying the same thing. Amen.
Amen.
But now understand, this hasn't got a thing in the world to do with receiving salvation. Hadn't got a thing in the world to do with receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hadn't got a thing in the world to do with receiving healing. Hasn't got a thing in the world to do with receiving financial needs or having your needs met. See, the prayer of faith works there, but the prayer of faith don't work here. See, you need to see that clearly. Like I said before, I'm going to keep saying it. Our problem is we just put all prayer in the same sack, shake it all up together, pour it all out together, and it comes out confused, leaves us confused. Amen. No, he's praying about the will of God. Isn't he?
Amen.
He's not praying to change anything. He don't change anything. See, the prayer of faith is a prayer to change things. He's praying about the will of God. What is God's will? Amen?
Amen.
What's God's will? Well, I don't know whether it's God's will. I have this inside me. I've got this inward conviction. I've got this inner something that's, to me, it seems to be saying that God wants me to start a children's home. I'm sure glad he didn't want me to start one. I know the struggle he had. I had the same thing about starting Rhema Bible Training Center. And I didn't just pray 30 days about it. I prayed about 18 months about it. Really, trying to talk him out of the notion of it, you know, trying to get him to, you know, not have. I've done my best trying to get him to, you know, I even mentioned something. Let so-and-so do it. You know, why not let them? I mean, several times through the years in ministry, I've done my best to get him to give it to somebody else. Even when after I even found out that's what he wanted me to do. Amen. Because really, me, you know, I'd rather do something else.
Amen.
You know. But you know, in the final analysis, we want to obey God. But now, if there is a way, Jesus wanted to obey God, yet he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I know with you all things are possible. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I kept telling the Lord, I'm perfectly satisfied. Just so pleased just to stay on the road in field ministry, road ministry, holding crusades. I just love that yet. You know, and I'd just be perfectly satisfied. Just keep doing that. Just, you know, what are you going to disturb me for? I mean, you know, and then Dr. Duncan, he had a little school going over there in Sheridan. He didn't have but about 50 students, never did have over that, sometimes 35. I said, Lord, I'll get behind him, push him. You know what I mean? And just thought, I thought maybe that would satisfy the thing, you know. And I'll you know, help him. And we'll just work together here. And I even talked to him, but he never did want to have over 50. And I guess that's where I got that. I really didn't either. See what I wound up with? All this mess here. Amen. Well, it's a good thing, though. Glory to God anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, in the final analysis, you know, we all want to do the will of God, don't we, or do we not? Amen. And it's what he wills, not what we will. But you don't always know. You know. Then sometimes after you do know, sometimes you wish it's different or you try to change it, but you still want to be dedicated to his will. So George Muller said he prayed every morning and every night for 30 days about whether or not God, that's what he's praying about, guidance, direction. Amen. Or whether or not God wanted him to found a children's home or have a children's home. And then he said, after I'd pray, you know, after he got through praying, I'd write down on a piece of paper my convictions. See? And he said, after doing that for 30 days, I was convinced beyond all shadow of a doubt that God wanted me to start a children's home. Well, he certainly didn't start out with 2,500 and all those brick buildings. It takes a lot of building to house 2,500 children, doesn't it? All the attendants take to see after him. Where is he going to start? Well, that's another thing you have to seek God about. Amen. Where is he going to start? You got to start somewhere. Amen. And so he finally said that on going to and from work, I noticed this old abandoned house. Old house. Nobody lived in it. Just abandoned it. Windows and doors out of it. You know, kids playing in it. Don't look like much, but that's where he started. worked at nighttime when he get off from work, evening time and on weekends, and repairing it himself, you know, putting doors back in, windows back in, cleaning it up. Finally, he got it ready and started out with two children. Now then, 50 years later, he wound up with 2,500 of them. But that's the way it is. When you obey God and do what God says do, then it is that you prosper.
Amen.
But so many times people want to get up there to the end and they never have even got to the beginning yet. Just like a lot of folks, you know, they want to wind up on the end of the race. You have to start on the beginning. The starting place. And there has to be a starting place somewhere. Amen? These are things very often that you have to spend some time praying about and in ascertaining the will of God. Now, anything, I want to contrast, you see, or compare, a contrast, because you can't compare them, but a contrast between the prayer of faith and this kind of praying is, you see, the prayer of faith works for anything that you already know is the will of God for you. Amen? You know that. You've got God's word for it. You either have God's written word here, the Bible, or else you've got some revelation in your own heart that God's revealed that's his will for you. Well, then you can believe God and go forward. But till then, you're going to have to pray and seek God about these things to ascertain just what is his will. Just what would he have me to do? In a number of areas, particularly when it comes to ministry. Amen? You don't have to pray about, you husbands don't have to pray about how to treat your wife. The Bible already tells you.
Amen.
Your wives don't have to pray about how to treat your husband. The Bible already tells you. Your parents don't have to pray about how to treat your children. The Bible already tells you. Children don't have to pray about how to treat their parents. The Bible already tells them and promises them, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you. Those are not well days when you're sick, are they? Those are not well days when you're in the hospital, are they?
No.
That it may be well with thee and that your days may be long on the earth. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We don't have to pray about how we should treat one another in church.
Right.
Believers, fellow believers and Christians. The Bible already tells us. Ephesians 4:32 said, but be ye kind. Tenderhearted. Hard-hearted? No, tenderhearted. One toward another. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to pray about how you should treat your fellow brother or sister if they fall into sin. The Bible already tells you. The Bible said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Didn't say to kick them on down further. And while they're down, kick their teeth out. Amen.
Amen.
Said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Spirit of arrogance. Spirit of spiritual pride.
No.
Meekness. Considering yourself. Could have been you. I said, it could have been you. Oh, I'd never do a thing like that. 4 years out, wind up doing something worse. Especially if you let your flesh dominate you.
Amen.
I said, amen.
Because,
see, that old flesh hadn't been redeemed yet. Amen?
Amen.
Ministers tell me, Pastor, I was holding a meeting. You know, he said, I get a lot of my sermon titles from movies. He never did go to movies. He didn't believe in that. But they'd advertise them. Sometime back in those days, they'd have billboards advertised. And they had one movie called The Beast and I. So he got him titled The Beast That's in All of Us. I mean, even the most sanctified, the most holy saint of God, there's a beast in every one of you. And it's there, all right, you see. And that's the reason these folks has gone to the extreme. I believe in deliverance and casting devils out of people and do it all the time. But that beast that's in you is not the devil. That's the flesh.
Amen.
It's in every one of us.
Amen.
Has to be. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep my body under. I bring it, cause his body it, into subjection. Why? Lest by any means, after I preach to others, I myself should become might become a castaway or disapproved, as the margin says. Well, if he didn't have to keep, you know, if his body didn't want to do something wrong, you wouldn't have to keep it under, would he?
That's right.
And notice he didn't lay it off on the devil.
Amen. Amen.
See, that's just sort of an easy way out sometimes, laid off on the devil.
Yes.
You know, the devil made me do it. Now, he'll help you, all right, no doubt about that. Amen. He'll help you, no doubt about that. But there's a beast in all of us. Now, don't sit out there and look at me in that tone of voice. I'm telling the truth about it. Even the most holy saint. Here's this great apostle. Here's this great man of God wrote half the New Testament. Think about that. Praise God. But here's this great man of God did all this. And yet he's having trouble with the body. Must have had. You wouldn't have to keep it under. You wouldn't have to keep anything under if it didn't want to get loose. Amen. Isn't that right? If there wasn't a fight there somewhere, why would you have to keep it under? If it's already under, it's under. No, I keep my body under. I keep under my body. I keep my body under. Under what? Under his spirit. Lest by any means, I bring it. Called his body it. That's where that beast is in, that works of the flesh. I bring it into subjection. Bring that body into subjection. Subjection to what? Well, subjection to the inward man, your spirit. Subjection to the Word of God. Well, sometimes these little side issues helps as much as anything, don't they? Right on the other hand, it's right in line with what we're talking about. You know, you don't have to pray about those things. You don't have to pray about the Bible. Well, I don't know whether I ought to do the Bible or not. I'm going to pray and ask God whether I should obey the Bible or not. No, you don't have to do that. The Bible already tells you, but be ye doers. Doers. Everybody say doers.
Doers.
Doers of the Word.
Amen.
Doers of the flesh? No. Doers of the Word. And not hearers only. The rest of that verse said deceiving your own selves. I mean, the Holy Ghost, Sue James, didn't even lay it off on the devil as scrawny as he is. And as bad as he is. Laid it off on you. Said you're responsible. Amen. Deceiving your own selves. The margin of my Bible says deluding your own selves. Well, either one of them is fine. I don't want to be self-deluded or self-deceived, either one. Do you? And yet you can be. There's a possibility. But be ye doers of the word. So you see, there's so many things you really don't have to pray about. Just do it. Well, I'm going to pray that the Lord will help me to do it. Now, if he told me to do it, that means I can. Besides that, I've got the helper in there. The Holy Ghost. I've got the helper in there already. I don't even have to pray for help. Amen. He's my helper. Hallelujah. And he's in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But see, we've been so programmed to pray religiously instead of praying scripturally. Glory to God. But you see, he is my helper. Jesus says, it is expedient for you that I go away. Expedient means it's for your good. It's best for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter, the paraclete, will not come. Paraclete means one called alongside to help. He'll not come if I don't go away. Hallelujah. But if I go away, I'll send him. I'll send him. I'll send him unto you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, so many times tell you the real truth about it. If you'll just listen to people, they're praying for things they already have, that the Bible already tells them is theirs. God help us now. We'll pray. Well, now, wait a minute. The helper's in there. What have you done with him? I mean, in your house. I mean, if there's a burglar outside trying to break in, you've already got a policeman on the inside. You don't have to call for the police. He's already there. If the helper's in there, you don't have to call for help.
No, you don't.
Praise God. Turn and look to the helper.
Oh, yes.
See what he's got to say about it.
Yes.
See what he tells you.
Yes.
Because he's in there to help you.
Amen.
Whatever the job is, he's in there to help you get it done.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I like the Amplified translation on that verse. John's Gospel, 14th chapter, 16, 17 verses. You know where Jesus said that he'd pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter. King James says, comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he's with you, and he shall be in you.
Yes.
And you remember then, that Jesus, that's the promise of the Holy Ghost. John wrote that in his gospel, but then he wrote an epistle years later to believers after the Holy Ghost has come. And he said, greater. Amen. Greater. Greater. Everybody say greater. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. The greater one's in you. The greater one's in you. Hallelujah. Well, he said, I'll send you another, King James says, comforter. The Greek word is paraclete. The Amplified translation gives you the sevenfold meaning of the word. Comforter does mean that. Helper. Counselor. Advocate. Intercessor. Strengthener. Standby. What else would you need? What else would you need? What else would you need? See, you don't have to pray. You know there is a sense in which you don't even have to pray for comfort. Why? Because you've got the comforter on the inside of you. Look to him and expect him to comfort you. No matter what the situation is, look to him. Well, Holy Spirit's given us his word. You know, even when it comes to death. Holy Ghost through Paul said that you sorrow not as others. Naturally, you'd have a certain degree of sorrow from the natural standpoint of losing loved ones, and we've all lost loved ones. Amen? But you don't sorrow like those who have no hope. Sorrow not as others. Hallelujah. First, because we have the word. Secondly, we've got the comforter. We have the comforter. We have the comforter.
Amen.
We have the comforter.
Amen.
Whether it's death or whatever the sorrow is, whatever it is that you need comforting, the comforter. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And then he is not only the comforter, but the helper. Helper. And then he is the advocate. That's one who pleads our case. The Holy Ghost will pick up your case and argue it for you. Counselor. Everybody's running around find somebody to counsel with them. Well, humans counsel with you. Their counsel may be good. If it isn't based on the word, it isn't any good. But then their knowledge of the word may be limited. They might not be able to tell you, you know, all they could tell you in the light of what they know, and they may not know that much. Most of the time, these people are running around wanting somebody to counsel with them is really trying to find somebody that is side in with them and take sides with them. That's really what they're looking for. You really got a counselor on the inside of you. You ought to stop and ask him what he wants you to do. Counsel with him. Let him counsel with you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Counselor. Then it said the King James, Amplified points out that the King James just said comforter, but paraclete also translated strengthener. You've got a strengthener on the inside of you. Well, that means he's in there to strengthen you. And then finally said standby. A standby. Intercessor, and then also a standby. Well, he'll do all these other things, and then he's just standing by to do anything else that needs to be done. That is to help you do it. He's not going to do it on his own, but he's going to help you get it done. He'll help you pray. Glory to God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
So then, you see, things that belong to us, the Bible already tells us what to do, then we don't have to pray about it, we just do it. But then things that belongs to us, like healing belongs to us, I can claim that, I can pray the prayer of faith there. And like financial needs, all needs. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. He is concerned about our needs. Now, some people tell you all He's concerned about your spiritual needs. Thank God He is. But no, He's concerned about all your needs. Physical, spiritual, material, financial. You know any others you have? Any need you'd have come under one of those categories. Either spiritual, physical, mental, material, or financial. He's concerned about all of them. And has made provision for you. And He knows what things you have need of. Jesus Himself said in the 6th chapter of Matthew, before you ask Him. See, before you ask Him. But you're still supposed to ask. And you can ask in faith. And the prayer of faith will work there because you've got God's word for it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But what happens is that people try to take the prayer of faith and work it in every area. But it won't work there. So we need to be consecrated and submitted to the will of God. And so George Muller said, after 30 days praying morning and night, 60 prayers all together, praying the same thing. Jesus prayed the same prayer. We read it. Same prayer 3 times. That's this prayer of dedication. That's this prayer of submission. I'm still praying the same prayer after these many years, trying to get around it. When I found out what He wanted me to do, then I really tried to get around it, but I couldn't. Not if you're going to be obedient, you can't. So you just had to submit yourself. Amen. But I'm still praying that way. Lord, you know, if you want me to do this, I'll do it. If you want me to do that, whatever it is, I'll do it. Amen.
Amen.
And then sometimes He don't want you to do some of these things, but He wants you to be willing to. Amen. He wants you to be willing to do it. If you're not willing, then sometimes you have to learn the hard way. Amen. So your will will be lined up with His will. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.